Alright, so last week we started our 3-week series on the Holy Spirit. And this week we go on into week 2. And we're going to speak into spiritual gifts. It's an area that is sometimes misunderstood. Sometimes it's misguided. It's turned into entertainment rather than what it should be. And so in preparation for this, the Lord was very, very audible in what He desired me to bring across. And we're going to break down 1 Corinthians 12, which speaks on spiritual gifts, as well as Romans 12, because we all need to understand our inheritance in the Lord. So, if you could turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 3. And this is ESV, yep. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, and that word brothers is actual unisex, it's brothers and sisters. I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit. And so, as Paul goes into this section of his letter, he starts off by saying, now concerning spiritual gifts, which means there was a question about spiritual gifts. So this letter, part of this letter is actually a response to what they've asked him in I think it's chapter 7. He also says now concerning marriage and whatever. So he's answering questions as well to them. And he's answering concerning spiritual gifts. And he says, I do not want you to be uninformed. He could have very easily started at verse 4 and just spoke about the gifts. Actually, verse 8, and just spoken the gift of this, the gift of that. But he lays it out so beautifully to understand the full revelation of spiritual gifts. And the first part is we need to be informed. We need to understand this. We need to understand spiritual gifts, its purpose, how it functions, its role in the body, and then actually the gifts. It's pointless desiring the gifts, but you don't know how to work it. You want a car, but you don't know how to drive. It's a similar concept. It's staan net aan die hart. Jy vat selfies voor die kar, maar jy kan nooit bestuur nie. You understand? So spiritual gifts, it's not, yes, we must desire them, but we also need to know what is the role of this in the, our inheritance concerning spiritual gifts. And so, yeah, as Paul said, his motivation is, I do not want you to be uninformed. And he goes on to say, you know you were led astray before. So, uninformed or wrong understanding concerning spiritual gifts might lead you astray from what the actual purpose and role of it is. Or even someone else carrying a spiritual gift that is abusing that gift. If you don't understand it properly, they can lead you astray and you can get hurt down the road. Okay? Unfortunately, especially in the northern areas, there is a culture that gifts is elevated above everything else. That guy can prophesy, or say can prophesy, or is quiet in working miracles and die, but their character is fraught. But unfortunately, in this area, that will take second place. Hy slaan sy vrou by die huis, maar hy is 'n kwaai predikant, so hy kan preek. The gift is elevated above the character, and people can get led astray. And so we're going to look at 5 examples. At first image, I want to share on 5 examples. Of when spiritual gifts were misunderstood. The first one is Simon the Sorcerer, and you can read that in Acts 8, 18 to 24. I'll share these images on the comm group. Simon wanted to buy the gift. He wanted to buy the Holy Spirit. Because he wanted the power, he wanted to control it. And that's, when you don't understand how this works, that's the road that you can go down. Where you want to control it and possess it. And when we misunderstand the gift this way, ministry becomes about power and status instead of surrender and service in it. Okay? We see that a lot. You will see prophetic groups. They don't submit under church. They just meet together. The gift flows, but there's no governance there. And so it's dangerous what takes place in those meetings. The second one I want to mention is Corinth itself, this letter that is writing now, using gifts without love. Because after gifts, he mentions love immediately. And even orderly worship he speaks about as well. So the church in Corinth was rich in gifts, but poor in maturity, using spiritual manifestations in ways that caused pride, disorder, and division. And a gift disconnected from love stops building the body and feeds the ego. So that's the warning with the church of Corinth for us concerning spiritual gifts. Then we have the sons of Sceva, the seven sons of Sceva. They didn't submit to the Lord, but they saw how it works. And so they went to go drive out demons. And when they tried to do it, the demon said, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but you I don't know." Yeah. And all of us, I don't know what's the word to use. They were assaulted physically. That demon said to let them rip their clothes off, beat them. And so the warning with the sons of Sceva is treating spiritual authority like a formula. That there's a formula to this. Yes, there's a framework, but there's not a formula. If we sing two songs loud, the Holy Spirit is going to come. Near, you will notice every week it's different. Because it's not a fixed formula. The only formula is our belief in Him. Okay? So, this is what happens when people copy the language of gifting without carrying the life, character, and authority that should support it. You can speak like the people speak that are gifted, but you're actually not walking in it. That's dangerous. It will come back to you. Okay? The spiritual realm is very dangerous. It's a violent place. And people don't get that side of things. It's a violent place. So if you're saying things because you heard it by someone, but you're not walking in it, so it's very much a danger to you spiritually. Why it might happen to you, okay? The fourth one was Galatians. They started in the spirit, but they finished in the flesh. And even that's the exact verse of Galatians 3, verse 3. In Afrikaans, it's so like a video getoer. That's what Paulus said. Okay? That's starting in the spirit that you're now doing things in the flesh. So what happened there was they were going back to the old people were telling them that you need to be circumcised, you need to follow the law, and that to be perfect in the kingdom. So Paul confronts believers who began their journey by the Spirit, but then tried to perfect it through human effort and religious performance. Misunderstanding the work of the Spirit produces exhaustion, legalism, and a faith that's built on striving instead of grace. So it's not about, it's generally not about performance. It's about grace and your heart's posture and your heart's condition. That allows things to flow through you. The opposite is also true. I didn't make a point here about it. God can use anyone. He's not a respecter of persons. Just because He uses you doesn't mean you're in right standing with Him. You can be in sin, but He needs you in that moment to speak to someone. And He uses you and you do what needs to be done. And that person receives it and they get their healing. But don't be deceived into thinking you are amazing. You still have your journey to walk. Okay? Be careful of that deception. And then the last one I want to mention is Peter and the Gentiles. And what happened here was, in the beginning, Peter generally thought that this is only for the Jews. It's only for the chosen people. But God actually opened up the revelation that this is for the Gentiles as well. And so sometimes there's a wrong understanding that the gifting is only for specific people. You must have this amount in your bank account. You must be well off to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. You must speak proper English to prophesy. Jy kan jou stampingstoot gebruik, is daar by die ding. Jy kan maar groot praat, it's fine. As long as you're doing what the Lord is saying, He will work through you. Okay? So we should never limit or try to limit, restrict the gift and think it's for a specific type of people. Okay? It's for those who, yes, it is the only specific type is the heart posture, your posture towards the Lord, that He can use anyone in this. Okay? So those are just some examples of misunderstanding or being misinformed and how it leads. How it led those people astray, but how it can still lead people astray today. Because it's still evident in the world that we see. And so then he goes on to verse 4 to 6, and I'm going to use the King James to explain this one easier. And then Paul said, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works in all. So the first three verses, Paul's explaining why he's sharing this. Verse 4, 5, and 6, now he talks of how this thing functions, if you caught it there. Speaks, can leave it there, Stevie. You can't put all three like on the whole screen. No. Okay, just go to 4. So he starts with gifts. He speaks about the gifts, okay? And that is the deposit that God has given you. Each of us carries varying gifts. We don't all have the same giftings, okay? One will have a mercy heart. Another will have generosity. You might have both. You might have 7 gifts. There's no fix. It's according to the Spirit and how much He gives to you. But the same Spirit, He says, okay. Then verse 5 talks about administrations. So administration is actually service. It's talking about how this gift is used. So there's different gifts and different ways that these gifts are used. Okay. And verse 6 speaks about operations. And basically you have gifts, services, and operations. Okay. The gift is what is given. The service is how it is used, how it's expressed. And the operation is the impact, what God accomplishes through it. So there's order in this. It's not just random. Okay? You have the gift, you have the expression of the gift, and you have the impact makes and what it accomplishes. So if the gift is encouragement, the service will be counseling or discipleship, and then the operation or the impact will be there's healing in a wounded heart. So it all works. There's a flow to this. Okay? And Paul's trying to explain it to them. So what God places in you is meant to become service through you and then produce fruit around you. Spiritual gift is not just for you. It's never meant for you to sit on and make TikTok videos of how gifted you are. It's meant to serve the body and produce fruits out of it. Not to see how many followers you can get. So that you can betaal word. I really want to warn you guys against TikTok, Pastora. And if you do you know the where these people submit? What's their doctrine? Don't get caught up in the vibe. Some people are gifted to preach in ways that you hang on to every word. I'm not like that, unfortunately, because yammer. I'm plot and that. You get those that, man, they can tell you, give me 1,000 rand, but the way they say it, you want to give 3,000. The way they excite you to give your last money to them. They're gifted in that, you understand? So now you're drawn to that. But that gifts meant to have a purpose and a submission under something. Just be careful of that. So a gift is never given for your possession, it's given for participation. Okay? What the Spirit places in your life must find expression in the body. That's why it's so perfect that this morning we have new members being prayed in. Because what they carry must now serve the body. It's not a matter of I come 5 to 9 and I come sit. Now we're going to start to mature and to mine inside of you what is there. Because it's meant to glorify Him as it serves the body. And that should be exciting to all of us, okay? And the beauty of the church is that diversity is not division. Diversity is God's design.
Sure.
Okay? Don't yearn for another person's gifts. You're just closing doors in front of you. Don't yearn for what another person has. God will give you what is for you. And in Ephesians, actually in Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4, it says according to what He wants to do. It's God's prerogative. It's the Holy Spirit's prerogative to give you what He wants to give you. But Paul says you can desire it. Desire the higher gifts. It's not that you're just born with it. You can desire it and something can shift and you can get it. Paul says desire prophecy above all things. Which means you don't need to just be born with it, which some do. But you can desire that gift and start working on it and get it developed to whatever level the Holy Spirit wants to use you in it. Okay? So there's two train of thoughts. Yes, there's things that you are born with, a design for your life, a destiny for your life. But there are also things that you can ask the Lord to grow in, to serve better in. Okay? And then something so amazing, verse 4, 5, and 6, if you quote it, let's just go to 4, right? Different gifts, same Spirit. Verse 5, different administration, same Lord. Verse 6, operations, God. He names the full Godhead. He names the Spirit, Lord, which is Jesus, and God. The full triune God, He mentions with giftings. The full Godhead is in operation when it comes to His church. It's not just the Holy Spirit. It's the full Godhead that is that works in us and through us. Okay? You can't have a misaligned relationship where you know, and this happened to me, where it's just the Father, or you know a lot about the Father, but you actually don't have much of a relationship with Jesus. Or you really don't spend time with the Holy Spirit because I don't understand you. So if it's the full Godhead that's working, then you need to have full relationship with the full Godhead in all the areas. In Spirit, in Jesus as Lord, and in God as Father. Okay? You need to develop those areas in you. And then verse 7 gives us the purpose of all this. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It's for us, okay? It's meant to serve one another. Your gift is meant to serve someone else. And the word there in Greek is symphero, and it means to bring together, to carry with others, to collect or contribute in order to help, to carry at the same time. That's what common good means in Greek. And so that is what spiritual gifts are meant to do. Okay? That's so beautiful. He spends all that time explaining all the things. Now he mentions the gifts. Understand? Understand? Paul doesn't do anything by let it fall, let it fall. There's an order here, and he's giving it to us so that we can understand it. Now he mentions gifts. Verse 8 to 10. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. And to another, the utterance of knowledge. In other words, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. So what happens sometimes is, it's not a prophetic word about something, but it's a word of knowledge concerning something, okay? Or it's a word of wisdom concerning something. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a prophetic word, but it's also a gift to give someone a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. That comes from the Lord. In that moment, you'll suddenly feel something. And it's a word of encouragement. Okay? Verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. We have one friend, Michael Katsoulis. Michael Katsoulis genuinely carries the gift of faith.
Yes.
Michael's faith makes you feel like you just got born again yesterday. Because he believes, man. You can't tell him anything. You're going to pray now. And then we're done praying, so I ask you, how do you feel? Did it change? No. Okay, let's pray again. And then he has such faith, genuinely a gift of faith, that it stirs your faith just being around him. Okay? to another the gift of healing or gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Okay? So, a gift of healing can come on anyone. It's not just for a specific person. Someone might carry it to a greater measure because also of the life of obedience that they live. But God can use anyone in a moment to pray for someone. And you'll just sense, I feel I got the gift of healing. Your hand will begin to brand, or something will, you will feel it. And you will just discern that there's healing now, and for people to be called to the front for healing to take place. Okay? Now that healing comes, moet jy nou nie 'n groot kop kry nie. Well, you know. You get people. Next one. To another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, discernment, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of the tongues. Okay? So in corporate meetings like this on a Sunday morning, sometimes there's a tongue that comes out. Someone is speaking in tongues louder than anything else. Then it's for the person leading the meeting to recognize that is for the body. It's corporate, it's not individual. So then I will call that person and I'll ask, do you have the interpretation for that tongue that you just released? And sometimes they do, or sometimes they'll say no. Then you must actually ask the room, does anyone here present now feel they have the interpretation for what was just said? Okay? As not worry nilly any lachen. Okay? The gifts must serve the body. That tongue is meant to serve here. And needs to be released, so there must be a gift to interpret it at the same time as well. The gift of tongues in a personal perspective is a gift as well. It's an indication of the presence of the Holy Spirit. That you can speak in tongues, that you can speak in heavenly languages. It's not always the same. It sounds different. Sometimes we pray even to ask for a different tongue, to praise you with a new tongue, okay? And if you don't have, if you can't speak in tongues and you are born again already, it's also not the end of the world. It's not going to determine your salvation if you can speak in tongues or not. But if you desire it, we're more than willing to pray over you to break their tongues in that area, okay? So, Paul actually spends very little time on the actual gifts, but spends a lot of time explaining it and how it functions and that. I think it's very important to understand that. And so now I actually want to go into the dynamics of spiritual gifts. Because this is very important. How things work together. We're going to talk about how gifts and character work together. We're going to talk about how gifts and governance works together. And we're going to talk about how gifts and preparedness works together. Okay? That's why I'm saying today God wants us to understand the full revelation of spiritual gifts. It's not just I can do this, that, but what's its actual role in the kingdom, okay? So the first one is gifts and character. And we're going to go to Romans 12, verse 3 to 8. And these are the gifts of grace, which is also spiritual gifts. For by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are in one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in other words, to encourage, in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So these are gifts of grace that are also mentioned in us, okay? There's a difference between grace gifts and gifts of the Spirit. And I'm praying that I can explain it in two sentences without confusing you. I really try to simplify it as far as I can. Grace gifts, the ones mentioned now, are spirit-given functions that we walk in. Okay? Whereas spiritual gifts, which we mentioned before, are the Spirit's power working through us to serve others. So, a spiritual gift can pop up anywhere. Like now in a meeting, Vaughn gave me, where's Vaughn? Vaughn gave me a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. Okay? It came up. It's for the body. But my gift is teaching, and that's what I function in. So it's not for the moment only. This is my role in the kingdom of what God has called me to. You understand? So there's a difference between, they both spiritual gifts, but the one is more aligned to function, and the other one can pop up at any time. Anyone can have it and carry it. Someone can't just wake up and carry a gift of teaching in a day. You understand? It's worked through you, a desire for it, and the ability, the Lord gives you the ability to unpack and to connect in that. That's not in a moment. That would be a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom in a moment. But this is a function. So this one is more, it's I don't know how to say it, like an identity basically in the Lord. Okay? So there's a difference between the two. In that way, I hope that makes sense. If you still don't get it afterwards, please come and speak to me. So, gifts and character. So, you bless the gifts, and I'm not just going to put up the second image, please, because immediately after he lists the gifts, for the next 12 verses, Paul gives character.
Yes.
And I just listed it. This, if you go read for yourself, this is what you're going to read about in the next 12 verses. Sincere love, moral discernment, commitment to goodness, brotherly affection, honor, humility, zeal, diligence, spiritual passion, servanthood, hopefulness, patience, endurance, prayerfulness, generosity, hospitality, blessing spirit, empathy, compassion, unity, harmony, humility, approachability, teachability, non-retaliation, integrity, peacemaking, self-restraint, mercy towards enemies, moral resilience, active goodness, and overcoming evil with good. He lists all these character traits straight after listing the grace gifts. Because character and gifts must work together. You can shortcome publicly when you're operating in gifts and you're not concerned about your character. Because the two must work together. Okay, that dynamic must work together. That's why oxygen life is so full of life, exactly. It's not carbon dioxide life, church. It's oxygen life, church. Alright? Because this is a big value to us. You're not going to preach. You can be the most gifted preacher with 18 degrees. You can nog nooit have voorstel. Gaan sort yourself uit by your house. Yeah. You los your vrou achter. You los your kinders achter. That will get sorted first. Elders is daar by your house. Because character is more important than gifting. And so that value balance is very important. And that's why there's so much life in oxygen. Like I was saying, now you can go to places where the person has zero character, but they have a gifting. And it causes damage in a congregation when we take that. So yeah, man. Yes, man. Okay? 1 Corinthians 12, where we were now with gifts as well. After he mentions that from verse 12 to 26, and don't need to put it up, Steve, it's going to be very long. Paul immediately goes from spiritual gifts to unity. So now is that dynamic as well, which is part of character. The gifting is meant to bring a greater unity amongst us. We one body, different parts, all serving together. So a measure of health is, are our giftings bringing us more together? Is my ability to teach bringing us more together? Is Angie and Sydney and Cindy's ability to lead worship bringing us more together? Yeah, we must ask those questions. Is this gift binding us to to the Lord? Or is someone's gift causing division? Hulle soek net die stage, hulle deity die. I'm not saying it happens here, ek sê maar net. Alright? We need to ask those questions concerning spiritual gifts. Okay? The second part is gifts and governance. And in 1 Corinthians 27 to 31, after he speaks about unity in the body, Paul says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are we all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do we all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. When he's asking those questions, obviously the answer is no. But he's saying there's governance. So spiritual gifts and governance must work together. Governance must provide the framework for the gift to operate. Okay? It's exactly what was happening in Corinth. Die kerk was deur mekaar. That's why chapter 14 is about orderly worship. Because there wasn't orderly worship. As hier a prophecy, as daar a prophecy, deur mekaar. Okay? That's when governance even isn't in place. Governance works with gifts together. Okay? I was hearing Tuesday in the lead elders meeting about a prophet that came to the city 6-7 years ago and was in a small setting but asked the elder to be present so that every person she went to and gave a word, the elder was next to her. The governance was next to the gift. So the word that was released came under a governance. So that there's a framework. In case they verkeerd gepraat het, the governance can say, that doesn't apply here. That's a bit off. They must work together. But if the prophecies is net los, without the governance, there's danger in that. So even whatever gift that you do carry, that you are aware of, it must come alongside governance. That's why there's leadership in churches. And there is a hierarchy. Yes, we are all equal in God's sight, but in the governance of the church and how it works, there's an order that he has set out for it to function optimally. Okay? First apostles, then prophets, then teachers, pastors. Okay? There's an order. The apostles and the prophets, the office of apostle and office of prophet brings direction where the church is going, and then the rest come in with it. Gifts is not above governance. Just because you're gifted doesn't mean it's just going to make room for you. It's your character and leadership that's going to assist you in that. And then the last one I want to touch into is gifts and preparedness. And John 3:29, this is John the Baptist speaking, and he says, the one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. So there's a marriage language spoken here by John. He's saying Jesus is the bridegroom and the church is the bride. Revelation 19, verse 7 and 8. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And then the last one is from 2 Corinthians. It's Paul speaking again, and he says, it's the next letter, the second Corinthians, right? For I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. Strong marriage language that is coming through. And I love the word betrothed in Jewish culture. Marriage was two stages. You were first betrothed to someone, which is basically engagement. but carried far more value. You were basically already married. If you're betrothed, you are married. Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but in the Bible it says, calls her his wife. It's already sealed. Okay? So, some of the characteristics of when you are betrothed is a dowry back then for Jews. A dowry was paid. A price was paid. Okay? Gifts were given. And then the bridegroom would go away and go and prepare a place for you, for the marriage. If you can already understand what I'm saying here. Okay? So yeah, price was paid, a covenant was sealed, gifts often given. The groom would then leave to go and prepare a place. Okay? Ephesians 1, 13, 14. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, was sealed with the Holy, the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. The word guarantee there is basically down payment. Okay? So the marriage language of the Bible, when the groom would often even send a friend with gifts to the bride as a reminder of his devotion to her, that they're going to get married, that this day is coming. And so when we understand that spiritual gifts is from the groom, it's the Holy Spirit is in essence the engagement ring for us. Every time a spiritual gift operates, it's Jesus saying, I am coming back for you. That is the heart of this revelation. The heart of the revelation of spiritual gifts is that Jesus is coming back for you. There's going to be a marriage. There's going to be a wedding banquet that's going to take place at the end. And our role is, like Paul said, to ensure that we are a pure bride when he comes back. And the spiritual gifts plays a role in purifying us. But at the same time, it is a reminder every time you see it operate, every time you see it touch one, every time you hear a word released, whatever the gift is, please from now on start to think like this. That's Jesus speaking and saying, I will come back for you. I'm coming for you. So as I come to land, yeah, every time the Spirit moves in a meeting, every time a prophetic word comes forth, every time someone is healed, every time a word of knowledge reveals the heart of God, it's the bridegroom whispering to his bride, I'm coming back for you. The church must never become so fascinated with manifestations that we forget the marriage supper that awaits us. The gifts of the Spirit are not just tools for ministry. They are reminders from the bridegroom that our wedding day is coming. So we don't just celebrate the gifts. We let the gifts stir our longing for the giver.